everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from our headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. The U.S. State Department has imposed sanctions on EED, that's China's Equipment Development Department, responsible for procurement of arms. Now, this after the body engaged in what Washington calls significant transactions with Russia's main weapons exporter, Russo-Baran Export. In protest at the move, Beijing summoned the U.S. ambassador and canceled joint midterm talks due in a few days. Now, the Chinese Defense Ministry also says it reserves the right to take further countermeasures. China regards this as a blatant violation of basic norms of international relations and a manifestation of hegemony. Why is the U.S. concerned about China purchasing Russian fighter jets and S-400 surface-to-air missiles? Stay with us and we will discuss the issue in today's debate show. First, let's watch a report.
It was just last week that the U.S. State Department imposed sanctions on a branch of Chinese military and its director for buying military jets and missiles from Russia. The U.S. State Department said China's buying of Sukhoi Su-35 jets and S-400 surface-to-air missiles from Russia breached its sanctions law. It also said the measure targeted Russia for its alleged meddling in 2016 U.S. elections and its activities in Ukraine. China demanded that the United States cancel the sanctions or bear the consequences. Beijing also warned that the U.S. move is called a stark show of hegemonism. Following the warning, China's deputy foreign minister summoned the U.S. ambassador to protest the sanctions on Beijing. Many believe that the slapping sanctions on China is just a political game on the part of the Trump administration and it violates international law.
This is a political game that's being applied by Donald Trump. He believes that maximum pressure, there's really no basis for this in international law. I don't know that Donald Trump has shown a tremendous amount of interest in that. This is a unilateral move that goes beyond any kind of international law or convention.
The dispute between the two largest economies of the world does not end here. Last week, the Chinese Finance Ministry imposed retaliatory tariffs on $60 billion of U.S. products. It said the tariffs target over 5,000 U.S. products and that Beijing will respond accordingly if Washington insists on raising tariffs even more. Earlier, U.S. President Donald Trump announced new tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods. Experts believe the U.S. tariffs indicate Washington seeks to put the brake on China's technological advances.
And what it signifies is that Trump is now aligned with the third faction in the U.S. trade negotiating team. That's the military-industrial complex intelligence agency faction, whose main demand is to stop the development or slow the development of Chinese next-generation technologies in the area of 5G, wireless, cybersecurity, and artificial intelligence.
The two sides have already traded tariff salvos on $50 billion worth of goods from each other in summer. It is unclear whether the dispute between the U.S. and China will end with both sides sticking to their guns.
Well, that was Mehdi Farahmand report. Now, let me introduce the guests that will be discussing today's topic. We'll have Marcus Papadopoulos, who is a publisher and editor with Politics First, joining us from London, and also Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist and commentator from Berkeley. Now, let me start with Marcus Papadopoulos. The U.S. State Department says that it's applying the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, or CATSA 2017 legislation, against the Chinese Ministry of Defense purchase from Russia. Now, China says this is a normal act of cooperation between sovereign countries. What do you think is the real story? Why should the U.S. be concerned?
Well, what we have seen for some years now is a resurgent Russia asserting its interests on the international stage. And Moscow has asserted itself politically, economically, and militarily. And America is rattled by that, because gone are the 1990s and the early 2000s when America was the supreme force in the world. America does not wish to go back to a time when there were two superpowers in the world. Now, the Russia of today has restored much of its lost superpower status, but it still has quite a way to go to having the sort of power that the Soviet Union once had. Nonetheless, the Americans, as I said, are rattled. So the Americans have to respond. And how are they responding? Well, in a very similar way to how the Americans approached the Soviet Union in the early 1980s. In the early 1980s, the Reagan administration bled the Soviet economy dry. And in 2018, the Americans are attempting to bleed the Russian economy dry by sanctions, but also by telling countries such as China not to buy sophisticated military equipment, for example, from the Russian Federation, because this is a very significant source of revenue for the Russian economy. So that, in essence, is the reason why the Americans are furious and have placed these sanctions now on these Chinese economies.
Now let's go to Lee Kaplan in Berkeley. Lee, this is concurrent with what is called by some people as an escalating trade war between Washington and Beijing, and also the tit-for-tat measures that, you know, both economic powers have been taking against each other. Now, which direction do you think are the two countries' relations going?
Well, they're not necessarily going for the better, but I feel that the United States is justified in what it's doing. You know, there's a big picture here that my esteemed opponent there didn't mention, but the Chinese are doing a lot of saber rattling. They have been building these islands in the South China Sea, trying to claim sovereignty over what was international waterways. They just dispatched 600 elite commando troops to Idlib in Syria to be involved there. They are using new technology, a lot of technology, which incidentally, let me point out, they've stolen through espionage from the United States. And the United States doesn't have to sit down and play patsy to that. The sanctions regarding the Russian jets actually is a very diplomatic way of telling the Chinese, stop buying weapons that you're going to threaten us with. And, of course, they try to make a thing out of it and say, oh, we just want to buy the jets from Russia. Well, no. Russia, Putin, has a plan to create the Cold War again. And the Chinese are also going to create the Cold War again. And I think what President Trump is doing right now is about the best course of action he can take.
Okay, Lee Kaplan, you said that the U.S. is present now in the South China Sea. Is this legitimate, you think?
What do you mean by legitimate?
Why should the U.S. be?
Do they have a right? Do they have a right to build artificial islands in international waters and claim it's sovereign Chinese territory and then threaten the United States and our allies for using the shipping lanes through there? No, I don't think it's legitimate. I think it's another way of making war. And also, you know, a big thing that was left out of this discussion a few minutes ago is the Chinese have been stealing our technology through espionage, hand over fist all the time. And it's finally not coming to a halt necessarily, but it's being checked by the United States government. And let me also add, the Chinese are threatening Taiwan, which is an ally of ours, and they are basically saying that they're going to take it by force. So what the Chinese are doing is they're rattling the sabers and they're talking about going to war. They're expanding their military also. That's why they send elite troops, combat troops, to Syria. They intend to become a world power and threaten the United States.
Oh, don't you think that maybe that's because of the U.S. presence in the South China Sea and those kind of measures that China is naturally boosting its military power? Anyway, let's go to Marcus Papadopoulos and have his comments.
Well, the mind boggles when America is presented by some commentators in an angelic way. Now, I'm not saying China is 100% innocent, but let's just face reality. America is the most violent, the most murderous, and the most criminal country on the international scene. If we take Syria, for example, this conflict, this appalling conflict, which has cost the lives of hundreds of thousands of Syrians, would have never have happened had the Americans not have given the green light to its regional allies to start sending terrorists, including jihadists, into Syria. But let me just return to the subject at hand. I'm not one for sensationalism. Whilst the dispute between Washington and Beijing is serious, there's no question about it, it is unlikely to spiral out of control. Let me just provide some perspective on that. Over the last 40 years, China's economic progress has been nothing short of a miracle. That advance by the Chinese economy, which began under Deng Xiaoping, has largely been based on China's economic relations with America, its trade with America, and its investment in America. Therefore, it is not in the interests of the Chinese government to become embroiled in a trade war with America, because the progress the Chinese have made over the last 40 years would be seriously affected. But likewise, the American economy is interlocked with the Chinese economy, so it is not in the interest for the Americans to become involved in a trade war with China. Now, there is going to be no military confrontation between America and China. That is sensationalism and should be disregarded. The matter is serious, but because the Chinese and American economies are interlocked with each other, both countries will take steps back to prevent this escalating.
Now to Berkeley, Lee Kaplan. Western military alliance NATO has pushed and boosted its forces closer to the Russian borders, as everyone knows. Europe is also now speaking about forming its own army, having its own military. Isn't it natural in this condition for Russia to join forces with China and others in response?
Well, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You have two despotic regimes who are dictatorships. They're based on communism, I know Russia is not a communist country anymore, but Putin is still a communist thug. And the fact is that they have a lot in common like that, and if they can bring down the United States, they will. Let me address some of the things my opponent just said, though, which are pure fantasy. When we talk about, you know, the great strides that the Chinese have made in their economy, the Chinese execute their own people. They execute people for having too many children. It's a despotic regime. Human rights are violated there. And
I think we need to have a serious discussion here. It's not become. This is not a serious discussion any longer.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, sir. And I'm not going to sit here.
We can talk about 1 million Vietnamese who were killed by
the Chinese government.
We can talk about hundreds of thousands of Syrians who have died because of America. We can talk about thousands of Serbs who have died because of cancer.
We can talk about the 40 million people that were killed.
Depleted uranium shells.
We can talk about the 40 million.
Serbia.
People who were killed by Mao.
Well,
Let's talk about the 40
Native
million people
Americans
who were killed by developing China.
Massacre.
Okay, gentlemen, let's
do
one by
we
one.
We need to keep this intelligent, mature, and
okay.
serious.
I don't know what your background is, sir.
Well, Lee, doesn't matter.
I don't know what your background
is, sir.
Let's
stick to the issue. Stick to the main topic, Lee. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. See, this is the old story. Listen, America is not perfect. America is not perfect, but he's trying to paint this picture of China as a victim of American. I guess what the Chinese was the old saw about American imperialism. It isn't true. The Chinese have been stealing our technology through espionage. They persecute their own people. They're human rights violators, and they've killed a heck of a lot more people than the United States.
Okay, Marcus, go ahead.
And America is responsible for the birth of ISIS. America is responsible for the birth of Al-Qaeda. And how many people in the world have died, have violently died, because of those repugnant terrorist organizations? how many Iraqis died because of the American illegal invasion of their country, close to a million. How many Iraqis died in the 1990s because of those brutal sanctions that America placed on Iraq? The list is endless. It is completely fanciful for you, Lee, to present America as this civilized force, as this guardian of democracy. The reality is the complete opposite. Anywhere where you find trouble in the world, the hand of America is there. I'm not saying Russia is innocent, certainly not. I'm not saying China is innocent, certainly not. No country, no government, no people are angels. However, the facts speak for themselves. America is the most violent country on the world. Maybe you need to go to Syria and ask the Syrian people what they think of America.
Okay, Lee Kaplan, go ahead.
Okay, I've listened to your baloney. Can I reply now? The fact of the matter, the United States did not start ISIS.
Well, providing you reply in an intelligent way, yes, I'll be prepared to listen.
These are sus. You don't know what you are talking about.
Lee, you sound like you're from Hollywood.
Lee, please.
You sound like you're from a Hollywood
movie. Lee, please, let's respect each other, okay? We're just discussing something, okay? And respectfully. Now, let Marcus talk.
I am respecting him. He's assaulting me personally.
It's Marcus's turn. Okay, it's whose turn was it?
The fact of the matter is he doesn't know what he's talking about. Tell me how ISIS was started by the United States. Tell me how ISIS was destroyed by the United States. And the fact is,
thank you very much.
Al-Qaeda
was also destroyed by the United States. So ISIS was born as a result of
Marcus, sorry to jump in. We're getting off tangents, okay? Let me put this question and get back to the main topic. Okay, I was Lee Kaplan, this is the general question for you. Why should the U.S. resort to sanctions and things like that instead of diplomatic ways in dealing with cases? You know, it looks like it's used to resort to force and coercion. What's the reason? I mean, look what's doing to China, to Turkey, to Russia, whoever.
Because the question is silly, because you know full well that these despotic dictatorships, they don't respond. They'll practice diplomacy by mouth, but they'll go ahead and do the opposite. The fact is, what President Trump is doing is he is making sure that
he's violating all international norms.
Past administrations in Washington.
It's not a silly question, Lee.
Sorry?
JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, it was signed by U.S.'s allies, by Europe, by others, and Trump just left it. This is silly.
Europe,
isn't it?
Listen, Europe also was a supporter of Hitler. Europe is not some great human rights protector.
This is preposterous nonsense. We really need to return to a sensible discussion now. This is preposterous nonsense, please.
Okay, well, I'm really curious where this man comes from, who he's paid by, and who he speaks for. He's got a very,
this is a live television debate.
Yeah, exactly.
I suggest you take that remark back, Lee. This is a live television debate. I suggest you take that back because that is potentially slanderous, Lee.
We are not going to insult each other, Lee. Please, okay? Now, let me go to Marcus now.
Tell me, sir, are you a member of a Communist Party group?
Come on,
are you a Marxist?
No, I'm not, and I never have been. Lee, be very careful of what you're saying in a live television debate.
Okay. Now, that's it.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, I'm very worried. You want to sue me? Sue me.
Oh, come on.
Go ahead and sue me.
Lee,
I dare
what are you talking about? Let's get back to the main discussion, please. Okay, Marcus. The question for you I have is that Washington is now supplying a number of countries with huge amounts of weapons. For instance, it's agreed to provide Saudi Arabia with $110 billion worth of all kinds of military hardware. Now, some of these weapons, some people allege, that are being used against innocent civilians in Yemen and elsewhere. Why should it then stop arms sales by others? What's wrong with that?
Well, America wants to, as I said, devastate the Russian economy, and after the oil and gas sector in Russia, arms export is the next most important aspect to the Russian economy. And if countries like China, for example, and also Turkey, if they were to stop purchasing high-tech Russian military hardware, then the Russian economy would feel that. And that is because the Americans do not want to return to a world where there were two superpowers, because if there are two superpowers, then American global aggressive ambitions will be checked by Moscow. And that is exactly what has happened in Syria. The reason why the Syrian government and the Syrian people have prevailed over Wahhabist terrorism is in part down to their remarkable fighting abilities and sacrifices, but also because of Russian military intervention. Russia in the 1990s would never have been able to militarily intervene in Syria. Okay. So the American objectives in Syria have been defeated.
Can I respond?
Okay, Marcus, we're running out of time. Lee, I have one question for both of you. We're running out of time. You got to answer me very briefly. Now, the U.S. military is maintaining presence across the world. It's in Afghanistan, it's in the South China Sea, elsewhere. Why is Washington concerned about China's military aggression with Russia then? Very briefly, please, Lee.
Well, there's an example right there. The Chinese are opening up a military base in Afghanistan. They're sticking their fingers in there. They, as I mentioned, in Syria and Idlib, they're sending elite combat troops. So, you know, ask yourself,
and how many,
are they sending them there just because they're nice guys
around the world?
They want to play with their fuel? These are military incursions. And he talks about you know, the United States.
What do you call the invasion
Let's
of
get
Iraq?
Something clear
what
here.
Do you call the bombing of Serbia? What do you call the supplying of terrorists in
Syria
with arms?
Yeah, looks like if the U.S. does anything,
that,
Lee doesn't consider
that
an invasion
of Iraq.
Got
rid of Saddam Hussein. Would you maintain that Saddam Hussein was good to his people? See,
well,
this guy's a clown.
Me,
he keeps talking
Saddam
about
Hussein
the United
was armed
States
to the
and
teeth
Russia
by America.
He talks about
Lee.
He talks,
Lee Saddam Hussein was armed to the teeth
two
by
dictatorships.
America. Who
the
gave
worst,
Saddam Hussein
the
chemical
worst
weapons
dictatorships
against
in the history of the world?
Out of time.
Russia and China.
Both of
he
you,
talks
Lee
about
and Marcus. Only 30 seconds for each of you. No interruption, please. Lee, go ahead. 30 seconds only. Marcus, no interruption, please. Lee. Last 30 seconds.
Okay, like I said, he talks about China and Russia like they're just some neighbors on the same street. They're not a democracy. They're despotic. They're human rights violators. They steal our technology, and their goal is, they talk about the Chinese right now are threatening to invade Taiwan. The fact is, they're not. They're like the Nazis. They're dictators.
Taiwan, Lee,
and
is Chinese
to say
territory.
That the United States
okay.
is on a
Lee,
same level
with them? You don't know your history.
Absolutely not.
Taiwan
okay, now,
is Chinese
it's
territory.
It's Marcus's turn. Marcus, go ahead. 20 seconds.
I don't know my history.
Lee,
you
please,
don't even know
Marcus's
the difference
turn.
Between
no,
a dictatorship
no
and a
know your
democracy.
History, but I would say this. The argument that America is seriously committed to human rights is completely untenable. And there are so many examples I could cite to corroborate my assertion. But one of the most important ones is the fact that America has a very close strategic relationship with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, in terms of human rights, is the most wicked on the international scene. And also, Saudi Arabia is the chief financier of terrorism in the world and the number one exporter of terrorism
all
in
right.
the world. And on that basis, America is not sincere
Marcus,
about
I have to jump in. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I have to thank you both gentlemen, Marcus Papadopoulos, publisher and editor with Politics First from London, also Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist and commentator out of Berkeley. Thank you both gentlemen, and thank you for watching the debate.